Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see you this morning. I hope that if you were here last week, we hope this that every week, but if you were here last week, we hope you are blessed by our time together, especially by our time of prayer in the evening. If you weren't here, we spent some time considering our anxiety, our worry, and what we do with those anxieties and worries when we feel them, when we become sometimes even incapacitated by the fears and the worries that we have. And so we hope that that was a blessing for you. I know that I've heard from a few people who mentioned that some of the things that we talked about were helpful to them this week as they've experienced some of those concerns. And we want you to know, if you were one who turned in a card, that those cards are not left in the past. And those cards concerning your worries and anxieties, we are continuing to pray over, continue to think about, and just ask, if you didn't get a chance to turn one of those in, that it's not too late, that we want to walk alongside you in whatever it is that you are dealing with or struggling with, and we want you to know that this is a place for you to be heard and cared for. There was an idea that we briefly talked about last week that I wanted to pick up this morning. The idea that we are not in this alone. Whatever walk you are on, whatever season of life you're in, whether it's in an up or a down moment, and it seems as though at times life gives us more of the down moments than it does of the ups. Whatever season of life you're in, we want you to know this is a place for you, and that we want to walk alongside you, and that you are not alone. The kind of community that God wants for His people is what we're going to consider this morning. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25, and allow that to guide us in thinking about the kind of community that God desires for His people. God understands that and has created us to be people of community, people who need people. We don't make it very far when we're by ourselves. We are not built to carry all of the burdens or even the joys of life by ourselves. And the kind of community that God desires for His people is unique, and it's special, and it's one that is deserving of our consideration this morning. And to ask ourselves, is it the kind of community that we are building here? Is it the kind of community that we are embracing? And we hope the answer is yes, absolutely. It is who we are. It is who we desire to be. In this passage in Hebrews, he does something similar that he's done before. Earlier in chapter 4, the writer has provided us with a part of his word that is explaining benefits and privileges that we have. And he does it here in chapter 10 as well. The first part of this paragraph lays out benefits and privileges of being people who call upon the name of God, call God as Father, and our followers are a part of His household. There are benefits and privileges that come with being a part of God's household. And then what he does in the latter half of this text, as he did earlier, is then he lays out what we ought to be doing about that. Given these privileges and these benefits that we have of being a part of the house of God, of having Jesus as our great high priest, as a part of God's house, and the leadership and the guidance towards holiness that He provides, what must we do? How must we live? What must we become? So there is benefit and privilege of being in the house of God. And then a call to an expectation, a call to a certain way of being or living. And here's the beautiful thing, and here's the thing that makes God so wonderful. It just so happens that the things He asks us to do, the things He asks us to engage in and to pursue, just so happen to also be benefits. It just so happens to also lead us to what is going to help us live the most holy and happy and joyful life, because it leads us into community. God understands who we are. He built us. He created us to have community. And so the privileges and the benefits we have of living in Him and the way we are called to live in response to that leads us into yet another blessing. So let's read this passage together and consider what's being said. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another for the stirring up and the provoking of love and good deeds, not giving up, not abandoning our meeting, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The kind of community that he is talking about here, he lists at the end of this paragraph some very practical things about what it means to be in community. I came across an interesting metaphor as I was preparing for this, and it talks about different kinds of communities, two basic kinds of communities. And the first is represented by a bag of marbles. Anybody have a bag of marbles at home? Anybody ever have a bag growing up? I had a bag of marbles passed on to me from who knows who it was. I never really played marbles the way it was intended. In fact, I don't even know if I know how. I know it has to do with the circle and bigger ones that hit little ones. I don't really know. I just know that it sounded great when you shook them up, and then you were worried about whether or not the glass inside would crack and shatter. I also knew that my mesh bag of marbles, similar to this, had a hole in it somewhere. It was a big bag, but occasionally one of the marbles would slip free, and it would go missing, and you know I wouldn't even really notice because it was such a large bag. And then some of the times you would see some at the bottom, and as you shook them and messed around, they would work themselves out and work themselves to the top, and they would get all jumbled around. And if you didn't have a very good drawstring on the top of this bag, what happened when you set it down? It all went just scattering out all over the place, and you had to try to figure out where they all were. A bag of marbles, as a metaphor for community, is more like an aggregation. It's a loose group of individuals, of separate entities, that have gathered because there are some similarities. You know, some of the marbles look alike. They're roughly the same size and shape. They have some different colors to them. But an aggregation is a group of people who gather together because they like some of the same things. They like the way certain things are done, and they kind of come together, but there's no real connection. There's nothing that prevents them from just scattering out, or when one goes missing, it's very hard to notice it. This is not the ideal community that we want to create. It is not the kind of community that God calls us to create, but sometimes I think the temptation is to lead there. When we become dissatisfied with how something is going, or we get upset, or it's the kind where someone can slip away and we don't really notice it. Instead, we should be pursuing a different kind of community, one that is represented in a metaphor of a cluster of grapes. It's similar to the bag of marbles in that it is a collection of entities, of individuals, and they all have something in common and they look similar. However, the difference is, if you were to set a cluster of grapes down, what would happen? They all hang together because they are personally connected to a source. They are personally connected to something that gives all of them life. And when if you were to take a grape off of a cluster, it would become immediately apparent because it wouldn't be connected to the vine anymore. If a grape goes bad or gets moldy, it's cause for concern for the whole bunch of grapes. And while one grape down here on the bottom might not be immediately touching or connected to one at the top, they are all connected because they are all personally connected to the source. And while they may not all know each other, they may not all be touching at all times, they are all connected. They are all drawn together by one thing that gives all of them life and gives all of them meaning. I think this is a much healthier metaphor for what it means to be a community of God's people, held together, plugged in. And while each of us have a personal relationship with God, we do not have private relationships with God. Because what happens to you happens to me. Whatever struggle you're going through, I want to be a part of it. I want to know how it is I can help you in that struggle, because we are connected. And without you functioning at where you need to be and where God needs you to be, I'm going to have a hard time doing that myself, because I need you as much as I hope that you need me. Genuine and real Christian community is difficult and it's challenging when we think about it as a bag of marbles and we forget what intimate connection we all have to God. And that's why the author of Hebrews spends some time at the first part of 19 through 25 reminding his readers of the journey they've been on, the conversation they've been having about what it means to be in the house of God, what it means to have Jesus as the great high priest. We don't have time to go and look at all of that. Bill did an excellent series on Hebrews not too long ago, and you can go and online and find that, and I hope you would if you weren't a part of that. But notice what he begins to say. He is summarizing a much larger argument, and he's condensing it down into a very brief and easy statement. Notice what he says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we, I want you to notice those two words. He has this argument that flows, and it contains this word since. Because of this, because of these benefits that we have in God, let us do something. Let something be occurring within us. The other important word to recognize is that it is a we and is an us. It is never a me or an I. This is something that is for all of us, engaging all of us. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. The first thing we have to understand about this community is that it has been done for us. He's using a lot of Old Testament imagery to capture their imagination. In the temple, there was a curtain. We know this, right? A curtain that separated the most holy place from everyone else. And in the most holy place was the presence of God. God desired to be with his people. But the way it was and the way things were going, he couldn't actually be with his people. And his presence was separated by this curtain. And once a year, the most high priest could go in there after going through a ritual of washing himself and purifying himself to go in there and to take care of the most holy place where the presence of God was said to reside, where it did reside. And so now what he says is, we have confidence. And the word there isn't really confidence, it is authorization. The way has been opened for us. We have confidence because we have been authorized to access the presence of God. Now, this is something we've known our whole lives. But I want you to imagine for a second being the people who lived then and there. It would have been a life-altering proposition to consider. And sometimes it's one I think maybe we can take for granted. They didn't have the easy access to God that we enjoy today. What the writer is saying is now, you have been authorized. You have been given permission. You have been granted this incredible opportunity to come into the presence of God himself. Why? Because a sacrifice was made for you. Blood was spilled on your behalf. And now God's Son has provided a new curtain for us to allow us entrance into the most holy place. So because we have that, and then the second thing is, and because we have a great high priest over the house of God. We have been granted access, and we have been given this great high priest over the house of God, someone who is showing us the way to holiness, showing us the way to live and prioritize our life and offering that guidance. Because we have those two things, verse 22, the first of the let us do it. Let us actually begin to do that. Let us draw near to God with sincere hearts, with the full assurance that faith brings. Full assurance meaning it's a scary thing to go into the presence of God, but because we believe in him and what he has done, we have this full confidence, this full assurance to actually begin to draw near to God, this magnet, this force that's pulling people in. Our hearts have been sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. So the second let us hold unswervingly to that hope. This hope that we profess is that God draws His people to Him. He has provided us access to Him. He has invited us in. We are these bits of metal being drawn into the presence of God. Let us hold fast to that hope that we profess, because He who has promised is faithful. He who promised that we have that access is faithful to His promise, yesterday, today, and forever. So what does this have to do with community? This is the benefit. I want you to imagine, if you will, you don't have to imagine, you can just look around the room. You look around the room and you see people, some people you've known your whole life, some people maybe you've met only recently. We have some visitors here with us this morning. You don't know them yet. But the thing that's interesting to me when I look out at this room is I see so many different individual lives with different backgrounds who have come from widely different places. We don't all look the same. We don't speak the same way. We don't all have the same kind of upbringing. We haven't all lived in the same part of the world for our whole lives. Some of us are connected and related, but even those relations and connections came from a lot of disparate backgrounds. And imagine all of these people, far-flung as they are being drawn together, are being pulled together like moths to a flame. And we have found one another at the foot of the cross. And when you stand there at the foot of the cross admiring who God is and what Jesus has done for you, you look to your side and your right and your left and you see people like you but unlike you who are there as well, because they have been drawn just like you have, with this hope, this promise, this access to God. And now here we are all together at the foot of the cross. And now guess what? We have to learn to live with each other. We have to learn to love each other. And that's where the community part comes in. Because we have this, because we have this thing that has drawn us together, that has drawn us inexorably toward one another as we come towards God. Now we find one another in community. So how do we make it work? What do we do now? The third "let us" gives us the most practical advice for creating the kind of community. It's already there. The community has been drawn together towards God. What do we do with it? Let us consider. Let us consider one another. Now, your translations may not put one another first. If you have the New King James, King James, New Living, and some others, it actually says, let us consider one another for the provoking of love and good work. And I actually prefer that to the in the original, because it puts the emphasis in the right spot. Rather than saying, let us consider provoking first. That's kind of negative sounding, right? And the word provoke is the word that was used to describe how people would move stubborn animals along. And it referred to a long stick with a nail on the end of it. We might think of like a cattle prod. And it was used to prod stubborn oxen or cows, and get them to go where they want to go. I don't know that I want you and your first thought to be thinking about how you're going to provoke me, right? Do you want your first thought about me that I'm just looking at you like, how am I going to provoke Sierra? What can I do to prod her? Instead, it begins with each other. Let us consider one another. The word "consider" here is the word they would have used for study, learn. The image I prefer here, I think, is like a therapist. When you come and you sit down with a therapist, they want to get to know you, your strengths, your weaknesses, your worries, your concerns, your hopes, your dreams. In other words, what makes you, you? What makes you tick? What gives you joy? What robs you of joy? All for what purpose? To help you live a better life, a more connected life. That's the imagery I see when he says, let us consider one another. Let us study one another. Let us learn one another. For a very specific reason. We learn one another so that we might stir in one another love and good work for the kingdom of God. How can I do that if I don't know you? how can I stir up in you a love for God's community, a love for God, and a love for me if I don't know who you are? If I don't take the time to understand you and where you come from and what your hopes for you, your life and your family's life is. If I can't see the rut that you might have created in your own life, whether that's falling along the way and not doing what you need to be doing, or whether it's just the rut of life where things get in the way and I've got to get my kids here and there and I've got this thing to plan and this job to accomplish. And suddenly those things become our rut, right? Because all we're thinking about and all that gives our life meaning are those things, rather than allowing God to give those things their meaning. That's a rut just as easily as any sort of temptation or whatever you might think of. But if I don't know you, how will I know what you're dealing with? How will I know how you need help? How will I know how you need my prayer and my support? That's one of the greatest needs a human has, is to be known by someone in that way. Because we have all been drawn together, he says, let us now consider each other. Consider and learn and know one another so that we know how to stir each other up in an encouraging way. Because he says that too, right? Sometimes we're all in on the provoking part, but to be done in love and an encouragement of one another. I don't know about you, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. And here's the thing, we have to make it happen. It does not just happen on its own. When we come together as we have this morning, this is a wonderful and it's a great thing. It's a great thing for the community to gather together and to offer our services to God, to praise Him, to worship Him, to observe and to be reminded of who He is. But when we are here, one thing is on our mind, God. And we're sitting here and we praise God and we pray to God and you listen to me or you listen to Bill. But one thing we're not doing is we're not considering each other. We need to make the space to begin to learn one another. So he says, consider each other so that you might be able to stir up one another love and good deeds, encouraging one another. And the fourth thing he says is for us to not abandon being together, as some are in the habit of doing. Now we know from church study that the church that he's writing to is having a difficult time with that. And some are abandoning the church, and it's that strong of a word. Neglect makes it seem like, you know, Carrie and Sandy didn't show up for a couple of Sundays, and they neglected being here. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about an abandoning of the community, an abandoning of God's church family. And the word meeting there is the word we get synagogue from, synagoge. It had to do more with like the way of life, the community being formed around God. And some people were dropping out of that because they found the world too challenging and too difficult. And they couldn't separate their old life and their new life, and they were drugged back in. Some others thought that God was going to come much sooner than he did, and they got tired of waiting, and so they go back to their other life. There are all kinds of reasons people were dropping out in that day and age. So he says, don't abandon this community. Instead, consider how to make it work. All of the hardest work has already been done and what God has done for us. So let us learn one another. Let us consider how we might be able to best support each other in love and good works, encouraging in one another and not giving up, not letting go. C.S. Lewis wrote in an essay about the inner ring. He wrote that the greatest desire a person can have is to be a part of an inner ring. It's that group of people that make you feel like you, who see you and who know you. But here's what he says about it. We all know the pain of wanting to be a part of someone's inner ring and being rejected. We all know the pain of talking to someone and that person seeing another person walk by whose inner ring they'd rather be a part of and leaving us to go join it. And he says, the pursuit of the inner ring will break your heart unless you can break its hold on your heart. And how do we do that? We do that by understanding and pursuing the kind of community that the writer is talking about here. It's the kind that is already there. You are a part of this inner ring. You are a part of God's inner ring. And until we can learn to see each other for the connection that we have to God and not for what I can get out of you, when we think about life as that bag of marbles, it's not about me and you. It's just about me and what I can get from you, right? It's about what you can do for me. If the kind of community represented in this bunch of grapes sounds good to you, if it sounds good to you and it's appealing to you that someone gets to know you, that someone offers you this kind of community, if that's appealing to you, you cannot sit back and wait for it to happen. I know that there may be those of you out there who are feeling like you are disconnected, that no one is doing this. I know that I have felt that way in my own life sometimes. But the unsurprising thing is, if we want to create this kind of community, you know who it starts with? It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with what I can do to get to know John. It starts with what I can do to get to know Ron and how I can better support him, unless it's showing up in the heat to work on the plants, because that's really hard. And I'm so grateful that you and Randy are doing that. But that's the point of this kind of community. We learn one another, and it begins with me and what I can do. If we sit back and wait for it to happen, if we sit back and wait for it to be someone else's responsibility, we're going to have a hard time creating the kind of community that God wants, embracing the kind of community that He wants. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Are we a bag of marbles, or are we a cluster of grapes? And so here I am for your consideration, and here you are for my consideration. Let us all consider, because of this great blessing that we have, let us consider one another and how we might serve one another. Our hope is that when you leave here, you feel these bands of connection. You feel these like elastic bands connecting you to God's community, and it just pulls on you, and it pulls on your heart, and it wants to draw you back in, so that when you're out doing and living life, you feel this need, you feel this desire to be with God's people once more. That is what is represented in the grapes. We hope and we pray that you will understand and embrace this kind of community, that you will help me do that, that I can help you do that. If that sounds good to you, start today. Begin considering those around you, learning who they are, and how you might help them to a life of love and good deeds, encouraging one another, and not giving up when it gets hard, because it will. We want to offer a time now of invitation. If this kind of community sounds good to you, and you have found yourself on the outside of it, and you want to know how to get connected to that cluster of grapes, we want to offer that chance to you to be baptized, to commit to this life and receive forgiveness. Maybe you just have realized that you have slipped through the bag or you have come off the vine and you need help being grafted back in. We want to offer that to you as well. If there's anything you need this morning, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.